This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the Players Place.
Final hour of Ben and Woods here on a Tuesday. Got a regular start time after the early Labor Day start for the Padres. So 6:40 tonight, 5:40.
I thought it was 6:10 tonight.
I think it's 6:40.
I saw a graphic that popped up. It freaked me out.
It didn't. 6:40.
6:40.
I swear I saw a graphic.
Someone's graphic might have been wrong.
Maybe.
Game's at 6:40. 5:40 Eastern
normal time.
SoCal pregame show as we get through the unofficial end of summer in America's finest city. Labor Day. I was anchoring last night, so we had the normal stories on Labor Day, including one of our reporters, Ava Kirshner, was out at the airport. Dorothy, down the hall, she was coming back from a trip, and she ran in. She said, oh, I saw one of your colleagues doing her live reports. I said, yeah, I tossed to her last night.
Toss,
to, you know, that's what we do. When you're an anchor, you toss to the reporters. It's a toss. To her. Tossed to her.
Let's come up with a new...
That's what we say.
Say through.
But yesterday was the busiest day of the year.
That's unhinged, is it not?
Toss. An anchor toss.
Isn't that unhinged?
It's... Yeah.
All right. Never mind. I'm sorry to throw us.
That's all right. Yesterday was the busiest day of the year at San Diego International Airport. 75,000 passengers.
Yesterday.
Going through yesterday. Yeah.
I disagree.
More travel than any other day. I find out this morning.
I disagree.
That not only were you part of the big mess at the airport yesterday, you actually went to pick someone up.
Yeah.
And then you went in to greet them. Like this is 1963.
Yeah.
And you were waiting for them as they emerged from their flight.
That's right.
Why did you do this?
Why did I do it?
Yeah.
My beloved Aussie Tony is here.
Good day, man. You are infatuated with this guy.
You didn't just pull up to the curb and say, hey, text me when you got your bags and I will pull from the cell phone lot and you'll see me driving up and you just pop into the car. It's nice of you to go pick him up. You actually went into the airport.
I've talked to you every day, 4 or 5 times a day. For like the last 8 years, I wouldn't even consider asking you for a ride back from the airport if I landed in San Diego.
Smart.
If I did,
you'd rather pay for like a Uber,
I'd pay $100
a ride share
Uber,
for
100%.
Us than actually come to get us. At
but
the
if
airport.
I did have to ask you to pick me up, it's not even a thought in the world that you would get out of your go park your car, walk
and
in,
pay
and
for
help.
It. By the way,
yes.
You have to get charged for that.
Yeah,
you paid to go pick someone up at the airport.
Yeah, I don't even walk in when my parents get here. Hopefully they're not listening right now. There's a reason behind everything I do, number one. All right, so Aussie Tony, my buddy I met in Manchester. And we had this really, we talk all day every day now on WhatsApp. He's a big fan of the Ben and Woods show. He's getting into baseball. So he landed yesterday from Melbourne. Connected in San Francisco.
First of all, tell me what you told me. Tell everybody what you told me earlier about his flight from Melbourne.
I'm going to let him tell that story tomorrow on the air.
Fair
I
enough.
Can't tell it
okay.
like he can.
All right.
He's a lunatic. So he's the best. So he flies in from Melbourne. And I looked around and I go, what's
a long flight?
It's a long flight. And then he landed in San Francisco, had a little bit of a delay, and then flew down, you know, hour and a half flight. And I said, what time did you get in? And he said, about 1. And I looked around and like my kids were playing. Hannah was messing with the van. And I go, I have nothing to do. The Padres don't start till 3:40. I go, dude, I'll come pick you up and take you to your hotel. Now, he's a visitor from a foreign country. I wanted it to be comfortable for him. So I went down. So I drive into the airport, Ben. I didn't see a big mess. Like I didn't, it really wasn't bad at all. So I zipped around. I go, I could sit in the line. So we only communicate on WhatsApp, right? And like he has an Australian phone number. We don't chat on the phone. So what I didn't want to do is this. Hey, mate, let me know when you get here. I'll sit in the cell phone lot, WhatsApp me, and then I'm in the, you know, tell him the make and model of my car. The pickup line is always more difficult. So I go, it's $10. I walked in, and I walked in to greet him. And was like, man, this guy's been flying for 24 hours to come here. So I went in and met him. I had time to kill. And I met a tier one in there, too. Walked up and said hello. So it was really nice. And then grabbed him, took him to his hotel. And he needed a nap and, you know, to recharge. The jet lag from Melbourne is insane. It's tomorrow. It's like midnight tomorrow. He said our show starts at like 11 p.m. there the next day. He knows what we did before we do. Right? Like, hey, can you tell me if the Padres won today? It's crazy. So we'll be going to the game tonight, And if you see us, make sure to say hello. He's such a gem. You'll meet him. He's going to come in tomorrow and do some hang with us. He's such a light. You'll just be entranced by his personality. Such a positive, cool guy.
Pit boss at a casino in Melbourne.
Just the best, dude.
That you ran into and became friends with at the Oasis concert
we
in Manchester, England.
It was the most special night, other than my kids, you know, being born and all that crap. That was the best night of my life. My 50th birthday.
All that crap.
The 50th birthday was so special. We had such a great time. And my buddy Craig, we're all going to the game tonight, the three guys that were hanging together. And, you know, lifelong friends, man. You meet and you're like, this makes sense. So I'm really excited for you guys to meet him. He listens to the show now. He's such a fan. And it's going to be great. The audience is going to love him. He's a gem.
What time are you coming in tomorrow?
Probably 8.
Cool.
If he can get his ass out of bed. Craig's got to go pick him up and bring him down here. So you guys will love him. He's such a trip.
Did he ever play in the big leagues? He can be our Big League Wednesday guest.
He is our Big League Wednesday.
Perfect.
We've already decided. We've banged Big League Wednesday. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but we've banged it because we're over it.
We got over about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we got over about 3 weeks into the season. All right, Skip Schumacher again. Like, forget it. I'm over it.
It's definitely the hardest guest, I think, of the week
just
for Paulie
to
try to consistently book someone who's actually been in the big leagues.
Just forget it.
Although I loved when we talked to
the guy too, the
from
Rando.
Grossmont. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
I did too.
That was one of my favorite Big League Wednesdays of the season.
Yeah.
Can't believe you guys forgot his name.
I know.
Yeah, totally.
You also did.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after we
okay.
Heard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Aussie Tony is the biggest league. It's going to be so fun having him in. And we're going to go to the game tonight. He was texting me yesterday a bunch of questions about baseball. And he's like, why is this guy? Why is that guy leaving? Why is he coming in? Oh, they're already pulling him out? Like, dude, you have a lot to learn.
I've got some questions about baseball. For instance, how are the Texas Rangers back in the American League wild card race?
Six in a row, dude. Six in a row, nine out of ten.
Six in a row, 9 of 10. They rallied with 2 in the 9th and 2 in the 10th to beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 7-5. And with the Seattle Mariners losing 10-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays, the Texas Rangers, who lost Nathan Eovaldi, lost Marcus Semien, have been injury riddled, were left for dead 2 weeks ago, are now just a game and a half out of the third and final wild card spot in the American League.
Just grinding on it with that, you know, 24 games to go. Incredible.
And the Kansas City Royals are now just 2 games out of the Seattle Mariners as well. So we have a full-fledged wild card race on our hands in the American League. Now, in the National League, as we talked about earlier, yesterday did not go well. It was a bad day all around for your San Diego Padres. Phillies won. Cubs won in 10 innings. Reds won after blowing the game in the top of the ninth on back-to-back home runs against Toronto by Bo Bichette and Dalton Varsho off Emilio Pagan. My son, we were watching that. He goes, Emilio Pagan's coming in. He's probably going to give up, I don't know, 2-run homer here. And then he did.
Yep.
But they came back and won it on a walk-off Noel V. Marte 2-run single. So the Reds won. So they're now 2 games above 500. The Padres are 14 games above 500. So the Padres have a 6-game lead over the Reds, who are the first team out. The Mets are between them, but that's kind of irrelevant when it comes to making the playoffs. The Reds are the team that you want to make sure that you stay ahead of to go to the postseason. I did some tiebreaker calculations. Padres still have 3 games against the Reds. That's probably the biggest danger you have left.
Okay.
Because if you get swept by the Reds, we can eat half of that deficit in one series.
Right there.
If the Padres win 1 game against the Reds, they will clinch the tiebreaker against the Reds. They won 2 out of 3 earlier in Cincinnati. If they finish 3-3, the Padres will win it on the divisional tiebreaker. So, essentially, if the Padres can win 1 game against the Reds out of those three, the Reds would need to finish 8 games better than the Padres in the rest of the season.
So we lost 2 of 3 to them.
No, we won 2 of 3. Didn't we?
No, we lost 2 of 3.
Did we lose that series?
Yes, we lost 2 of 3. So
I thought we won that series.
No, we lost 2 of 3.
So the Padres would need to win 2 then to win the tiebreaker. Win that series to win the tiebreaker. Still, even if you didn't, the Reds would still have to finish insanely hot at the end of the season to catch the San Diego Padres.
Well, listen, all you can control is what's in front of you. You have to win games, and you have to win games against the Baltimore Orioles. You have to win games against the Colorado Rockies.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these are imperative, and I understand there are no easy games. And as evidenced by, you know, I think the one yesterday sucked, man. That one was the rough one. Bookended, right, by the Friday night sucked. It sucked. Just had the day off. You know, you looked beat. We saw your beat, and you came out, and you got beat by Zebby Matthews, he of the 6 ERA, who looked ungodly.
I agree with you. Sunday, you know, Joe Ryan's nasty.
He's nasty!
That was always kind of one, especially with Kyle Hart going.
I said, no problem. No, I have no problem with that.
It was Friday's game that was really the one that bothered me over the weekend. Clearly, it's a game you should have won. You made an error. You just looked sloppy and flat in that game. It happens. I get it.
Talking with my buddy, he's a diehard Minnesota all sports fan, and he was texting me on Friday night, like 7th, 8th inning. He goes, "How are you guys losing to Zebby Matthews?"
Yeah, he doesn't watch the San Diego Padres, man. And you know, funny, I saw a tweet sent out by a Dodger fan, and he was doing like the. He was talking about the last 10 starts or whatever, because they hadn't been playing particularly well either. And he was like, this guy, 6 ERA, Dodgers lose. Nestor Cortez, 6 ERA. Yu Darvish, 6 ERA. It's happening to them, too. It gives me no relief, but it's happening a lot. Like, I don't know what it is, but we have felt like the get-right gang all season long. Guy comes in with a 5 ERA, 6 ERA. Toast. And then our pitcher, inevitably, Dylan Cease, man, he's driven people to lose their minds in this town, and I think for good reason. We were even, Ben, who never gets upset, he really doesn't. It's hard, I try to get him worked up, he doesn't get upset. You were like, you can't let one little mistake by Jose Iglesias completely just melt you down. And
that was such a weird play, too.
It was. Like, and I will say this,
it looked like he was going to be out by a mile on a regular grounder to short, and it totally changed that game.
I will say this. Jose Iglesias, you got to do a better job there. He got the ground ball that he needed, and you didn't know that Beavers was the fastest guy in the league, apparently. You double-clutched, you took your time, and you didn't get it. You got to know. That's in the scouting report. This guy's got wheels. I got to charge that ball, make that play. He didn't. But Dylan Cease then can't unravel entirely and let the world end.
It happens so fast, too.
It's got to be. You got to tighten it up a little bit.
It's almost like if there's an error, a defensive error.
Especially with him.
They need to tell Cease, fake an injury.
Yeah. You're done. You're out.
The crazy thing is, had Jose Iglesias made that routine play, Dylan Cease doesn't give up any runs.
Correct.
Those are the only two runs he gave up in 4 innings. Did he pitch poorly or did he pitch well?
Nobody knows. There's Jekyll that we were looking for earlier.
Right.
Like, there
he
it is.
He got out of first and third. He got out of
got
it.
Got in some trouble, but got out of it in the third and the fourth innings. But ultimately, those two were incredibly costly right there. And you felt like he was cruising for the first 4 batters. One thing happens behind him. Boom, boom, boom. It's 2 runs in, and it turns out to be the difference in the game.
That's little league stuff, man. Really. Like, the meltdown on the mound just happens all the time. And I don't know what you do to fix it at this point.
Now, the other thing that's interesting, and Craig brought it up earlier this morning. The New York Mets are now just 2 games behind the Padres. They beat the Tigers yesterday, 10-8 in Detroit. Juan Soto, quietly, even though he wasn't an All-Star, is having an incredible season.
And that's 36 home runs yesterday.
He's actually having a great year. If the Mets caught the Padres, and the Padres ended up as the 6th seed rather than the 5th seed, the Dodgers right now are the 3 seed. So there is absolutely a scenario where you could have to go to L.A. for the wild card series to open the playoffs the last week of the month, best out of 3, only 1 team goes on.
Yeah.
Not a 5-gamer, not a 7-gamer, a 3-gamer against the Dodgers.
You're guaranteed no playoff, home playoff game. I mean, not guaranteed, but your risk, no playoff.
Is that not the worst-case scenario for both teams?
Yes.
Isn't that exact? I mean, the Dodgers must think, you mean we have... We have to go to the wild card series finally because we didn't play well all season, and we have to play the Padres.
Yeah, but they've
best
owned
of three
us this year. I don't know that they're.
It's not as daunting for them as
it's more daunting
well,
for
I
us.
Still, if I were them, it's the last team. I'd
it's the last
face
team you want to play
in a best of 3 series with the season on the line. But if I'm the Padres, it's also the last.
The
team
Angels
I'd want
would be
to
the
face
worst team
is,
they'd want to see.
Well, be terrible.
It's also the last team you'd want to have to go to L.A. knowing now you have to go win a series where you did not play well. In L.A. all season long, and for your playoffs to go on, you'd actually have to take them out early. Now, if you're going to take them out, winning 2 is a lot easier than winning 3, which is a lot easier than winning 4.
Sure.
It's not It's not unthinkable that could actually work out in the Padres' favor.
Nothing is impossible.
Man, that's not the stress I was looking for in the wild card series.
Well, and then the other part of that equation is you are figuring, and this is going to hurt the Padres a lot more than the Dodgers, if that scenario played out where the Padres fall to the sixth seed, that means they're playing, every game is meaningful up until the end of the regular season. So there, you may not even have your rotation ready, you're not going to get a chance
to
reset.
I mean, unless you really continue to collapse and go, 10 and 14 or 8 and 16 the rest of the way. And again, 7 games against the Rockies. If you can't take care of business there, then I don't know what
we're
talking about.
I'm just saying, if
you
the
should
Padres,
be able to clinch a playoff spot at least with 4 or 5 days to spare.
But if the Padres were to fall into the sixth spot, that would mean that they're playing their butts off trying to win every game.
Still should clinch 4 or 5 days early, even in the sixth seed, because the Reds are so far behind you.
Yeah.
Shouldn't matter. If it does, you have much bigger problems than.
Yeah.
Than what seed you're in.
As long as it doesn't come down to that, they play Diamondbacks.
It shouldn't come down to the last series. Something has gone horrifically wrong. Even more wrong.
Yes.
Padres have lost 7 of, I think they're 7-10 in their last 17. That's fine. If they play like that, they're still cruising to the playoffs.
Like, realistically,
they'd have to play much worse than they've even been playing, which is really bad from our perspective. They'd have to play much worse than they're already playing for it to come down to the last few games.
I mean, they could clinch a playoff spot, a spot in the dance, 2.5-3 weeks, like pretty early.
With about a week to go. Which, I mean, if they play decently, they should clinch with, if they play. If they take care of business against the Rockies and win 6 out of those 7, which I'm not saying they were going to, but if they did, they'd clinch with 1.5 weeks to go.
Okay.
They will have plenty of time
still,
to get
then
ready.
Then you're playing for seeding and seeing what happens around you.
That's the ideal scenario. It would help if they won these 2 games against the Orioles, which you should be favored at home to win. Take care of business against the Rockies. You've also got the White Sox still to play. If you just take care of business against the lesser teams, you'll clinch with plenty of time to spare. Yeah. A playoff spot.
Gotta
now, division, home, I have no idea. You might have to be playing till the very last day to try to earn a home game or a divisional championship if you play well enough. But just to make the playoffs, you just can't collapse at this point.
Everything's on the table, literally. It makes no sense to prognosticate what the potential playoffs are going to look like when there's 24 games to go. And you can go 12-12.
That should be fine.
So I'm going to take it game by game. Beat the Orioles.
If you go well under 12-12 against the easiest schedule remaining in baseball, you have serious problems.
You have no hope.
So I was just going to say.
Serious problems.
12-12, we get into the playoffs. How's everybody feeling?
Not great, but you're in.
Yes.
And you're hoping, you snap your fingers and everything turns on a dime, which happens sometimes.
It happened against us last year.
It did. Yeah. It does happen. I would not want to be relying on that. But again, let's not hit the panic button because we're not there yet.
Hit the concern button.
Hit the concern button.
All right.
Mike Schilt even said the word concern after the game yesterday. If he can say it, we can certainly say it. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, a little college football talk from over the weekend. We are glad football was back. I think all of us enjoyed watching a little pigskin over the weekend. And then Paulie's got his Rondo report all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Get a second opportunity here, though, to talk about SDFatLoss.com. So many success stories. In this building alone, I lost 40 pounds. Chrisella lost 37 pounds. Matt Scraby lost 40 pounds when he did the program. John Flint from down the hall, 30 pounds. And then how about the tier ones? I told you about Manny's story, loyal listener. Lost 50 pounds in the first 60 days, then added another 43 as he continued the program. That's a total of 93 pounds. You can do it as well with the SDFatLoss.com program. It's based on real foods, no injections, no exercise necessary. You can lose up to 1 pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. I lost my weight eating a lot of chicken, ate some steak in there, had some fish. I like ahi tuna, vegetables. You can put together a program that works for you, working with your counselor, your coach, that will help you lose weight, keep you on track, get you back on track, even when there's a little slip. Hey, cheat days, they happen. They know that. They understand that at SDFatLoss.com, and they can still make sure you lose 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. Sign up for your free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Mention my name, Ben, from 97.3 The Fan. Get $200 off the program right now at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. Well, I hate to say it, Woods, but I thought the most entertaining football game of the weekend was your Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I can't deny it,
losing
man.
The Miami Hurricanes. Got good at the end.
It didn't
the
look catch, like it was going to be that
the
good.
The catch no. that C.J. Daniels Jr. made for the touchdown. Best play of the weekend in college football that I saw.
It's unbelievable
for
catch.
For sure.
I mean, it was like a bad throw from Carson Beck. Back foot, chucked it up, and that's kind of what you do. You let your receiver make a play. And he made a play. Our defensive back decided, ooh, I'm going to go for the pick and not just lay this guy out. And they scored a touchdown. And I literally watched it. I went, that was a hell of a catch. Tip my hat. The way I look at it, for at least me and I think Notre Dame fans coping, is really hostile environment on the road against a top 10 team. You lost by a field goal, you know, and you played like ass. I mean, you played like crap. Rookie quarterback making his first start. One of the best running backs in the country. You gave him four touches. There's a lot of stuff you can clean up. I'm not too worried about it, but I also just kind of watched it and was just so happy to have college football back. Like, yeah, that's my team. Yeah, I love them. But I get way more upset about a loss to the Orioles. Way more upset than, you know, a loss to Miami. You know, and I was actually found myself at the end going, man, this is really cool for Miami. They never have wins like they haven't had a big win in a long time. I'm weird like that with the Irish. You know me. What's my motto? I love my team. I love my coach. I love everything about them. I get 10 wins every year. I'm happy. Like, I get my 10 wins and
but
I'm
why
good.
Don't you say, hey, I love the Padres.
I do.
Love Mike Schilt. I get my 90 wins every year. I'm happy.
Because I'm not at 90 yet. Well, I'm not at 90 yet.
We'll
also,
see.
I was alive for a championship for Notre Dame. It was one of those special moments of my life. I mean, they've been in the quote-unquote World Series, right? They've been in it. I'm okay today if the Padres, you know, if I had a feeling like they were marching towards that. So there's still time to clean it up.
I'll agree. I don't think you should be overly concerned with a 3-point road loss against a top 10 team that a lot of people are arguing now should probably be top 2 or 3 based on that win. It was concerning that they didn't do anything until late in the game when, you know, Miami was pretty much going into the prevent. Let's not lose this game. Offensively, it was a struggle, but nowhere near as concerning as if you are an Alabama fan, coming out off of that loss to Florida State.
Oh, I was at a pool party for my kids and was watching that game in the backyard at my buddy's house, and I went, they may not let him on the plane. Kalen DeBoer, like, they may not let him on the plane. These things don't happen. They just don't happen to Alabama. So they're really in a culture shock right now of what it's like to be just a regular college football team.
Did you see the Florida State transfer quarterback, Tommy Castellanos?
Yes.
And on the sideline, yeah, firing his team up like, Nick Saban isn't here to save them. Getting them going. And
it's pretty amazing.
And really one of the more impressive wins of the weekend. And now Alabama's got some soul searching. Are they sticking? I mean, I don't think they'll make a change anytime soon, but the long-term future of Kalen DeBoer is very much up in the air. I saw people saying, you need to get Nick Saban back. Like, get him out from ESPN's contract. You've got to bring him back to save this. Seems I don't think that's realistic right now if you're Alabama, but you're definitely wondering if you made the wrong hire. Got the flavor of the month after his great year at Washington. Go, Kalen DeBoer, he's our guy. Has not been the guy for Alabama coming out of that the first now season in one game. It's looking very iffy. LSU, very impressive home win.
That one bugged me. I do not like Brian Kelly. I was not, you know. Congrats to our friend Teej. He's a big LSU fan. My friend Jimmy's a big LSU fan. Congrats. If your team won this weekend, I'm happy for you. Because college football is back, and it's epic. It's awesome.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
I do love Brian Kelly for that. He gave us plenty of memories with one of the best.
I'm here with my family.
When he went full.
And we are so excited.
When he went full Southern gentleman. He's from Boston.
Boston. Gets a job in Louisiana.
Yeah, you have to assimilate.
Great state of Louisiana, but more importantly,
it's incredible. Get it?
You great fans.
Oh, you Tog fans.
I remember it was like over a weekend. I want to say it was December, maybe November. He had just gotten hired.
Yeah, went to a basketball game.
Went to a basketball game to come out on the court and be acknowledged. And give that speech, and like you sent that over, and we had to wait until Monday.
I was frothing at the mouth to get on
the
air.
We almost did a special
weekend show. It was like I was like a rabid dog.
And then I think it's probably totally unfair to judge someone after one game as a head coach on the college level, but last night's performance by North Carolina went about as poorly for Bill Belichick as you could have even drawn it up, as they were routed 48-14 by TCU.
Somebody said Michael Jordan was at the game. They showed him in the
yeah,
press
he
box,
was there.
And they tracked his private plane. He left about 20 minutes after that first touchdown. He's like, all right, that's it for me. I've got places to go. Probably back to his golf course or whatever, but yeah, he got the hell out
now,
of there.
Normally it does take more than one game to turn around a college football program.
No doubt.
But I think most people thought, all right, give him a camp of practice.
You're like, it's
give
Bill
him a chance
Belichick.
To bring in some transfers. He should probably make an impact right away. Didn't look like that impact is coming anytime soon for North Carolina.
No.
And they pay a lot of money to have Bill Belichick try to be their coach and bring some attention to the program. The only attention he's brought in so far is bad attention.
Yeah, that's it. It's all been negative attention to this point with all the goings on, you know, with his girlfriend for whatever reason and all that. So
I mean, it was a free-for-all.
It was.
Know, last night for everybody that was watching that game to just dunk
yep.
and pile on Bill Belichick after a career of him being a salty, negative kind of dude. Everyone's like, all right, time. I mean, dude, I flipped it on for like 5 minutes in the third quarter, and TCU scored a touchdown, and there's 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and the fans were emptying out.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. But you're thinking, man, maybe, like, I'm blaming ESPN
There's
and a lot of the talking heads.
Well, but it's Bill Belichick. So, like, can you even really?
Let's not hype up North Carolina football when North Carolina football is not, has never, and is not a thing.
But it's Bill Belichick. Who's won more than that guy? So I get the hype with Bill. I do. I 100% get
sure.
it.
Sure. I mean, there was no question there was going to be a lot of anticipation.
Right. There's nothing worse than being so fired up about a new player or coach and something like that happens. It's happened to all of us. I had Charlie Weiss, bro. You should have heard me spinning that to my friends. He's the Patriots offensive coordinator. No one's going to stop us. He said, we have a decided schematic advantage against every other team. And I went, I'm in. And it was nothing, Paulie, but pain and misery and embarrassment. Mm. It was nothing but pain, misery, and embarrassment.
All right, we will come back. Final segment. Paulie's got some headlines on the Roundel Report, including an update from Burning Man.
Oh.
Couple updates
from Burning
Maybe
Man.
We don't send the big guy out
I don't
there.
Think I want to go. After these
I don't
updates,
blame you anymore.
I was already pretty much dead set against ever going. I'm even more dead set against going to Burning
Man. Oh, and music is coming back to MTV.
What?
What?
Tell you
That's
all about
a pretty big one. All right.
Good for That's all kind coming of. Up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
New week, new opportunity for Ben Woods to tell you about 7 Mile Casino. Yes, it is a card room, but it's a little bit more than that. It's upscale. It's friendly. It's clean. It's easy to get to. It's got a great restaurant inside. It's really got everything you're looking for if you like playing cards.
Well, I told Aussie Tony, just 7 Ooh. Minutes away, staying downtown, right? Right in the gas lamp. I said, I DM'd him last night. I said, hey, if you get the itch, because he works at a casino, loves cards, I said, head on down to 7 Mile Casino. 7-minute cab ride from where you are. You'll have a great time. I said, don't act a fool, because, you know, Ben and I endorse it. I said, but go in and have some fun. They'll get great food. Open 24/7, smoke-free environment. You'll have a blast.
I'd be very interested to get his review. If yep. He makes it on down there from someone who knows from a casino. I've always loved it. I've been to the Vegas casinos. It's a different atmosphere. I like the intimate environment. You've got Texas Hold'em, California-style blackjack, Pai-Gal, Baccarat, friendly dealers, but most of all, it's the convenience. You don't have to drive 45 minutes into the East County and back or more. It's right off the 5 West Side, looking over San Diego Bay and Coronado. It's gorgeous. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. You tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday, 9 a.m. here
hey
on
boy.
Ben & Woods. Manager's Report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Saw in our chat, have they talked about Manny Machado slumping yet?
Yeah, like the first hour.
Yeah, we did. Manny's slumping.
It's not good, man.
It's not.
Not good at all.
I would imagine that he's nursing at least one, maybe two injuries, nagging that he's not sharing with us and probably won't until next spring training. But there's no doubt that Manny's not playing at 100% right now. Doesn't mean he'll be like this for the rest of the season.
You know, you can be injured and still swing at good pitches. I think he's been really expanding the zone. You know, the 97 up yesterday, just went for it. It was definitely a ball. The ball he swung at in the first inning. He just doesn't look like himself right now. He's got to be better. He does. He absolutely has to be better. And, you know, the bummer is you make all these additions at the deadline. And, you know, Freddie Fermin scuffling too. You know, he really is. And you don't want that hanging over you. You don't want that hanging, that Bergert Kolek thing kind of hanging over you. You really want him to be the guy that you went out and traded two valuable depth pieces for that are pitching well in their new home, Ben.
You know which player hasn't gone through a slump this year?
Ramon Laureano. For us,
even with the Orioles, he slumped a little bit. The answer is none of them. Even Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, they all go through slumps at some point during the season. It's part of the game. You ride through them. You try to make them as short as possible, and you get going again. I mean, we've seen it for years now with Manny Machado. Gets locked in, gets red hot for a while, goes in a slump for a while.
Get it out of your system now. You know, now is fine when you're still. No reason to panic right now. Get it out of your system now. But, listen, you're back to that thing where you look at the lineup and go, oh, God, 7-8-9 is feeling black hole-ish again. And I want to give a lot of credit to Beach. Bryce Johnson, switch hitter, by the way, right? When called upon, the guy has done what he's supposed to do. He's been fantastic.
More than he's supposed to do.
So, you look at it and you're like, oh, we're right back to 7-8-9 being kind of a black hole, and it's kind of a bummer to see.
Now, Mike Shildt has said Jackson Merrill will be in the lineup today. Said that after the game last night. So Jackson Merrill returns, going up against Tyler Wells, right-hander, making his first start since April of 2024 after the Tommy John surgery. See how far he goes. I'd imagine he's probably on a 3 or 4 inning kind of limit, but we'll see how the Orioles want to handle that. Yu Darvish going for the Padres tonight at 6:40. The question is, with Jackson Merrill in the lineup, who's not in the lineup tonight?
I think
he's a righty?
Right-hander. Ramon Laureano get a night off?
I don't think you can take him out of the lineup, even against a right-hander. Does
Gavin Sheets go to the bench?
He better not.
Does Ryan O'Hearn go to the bench?
He better not.
Does Luis Arraez go to the bench?
No, because he got three knocks yesterday.
Then
there's no way you
have
put him.
Created pretty
a
much
monster.
Unless you're moving Jackson Merrill to shortstop, which we both think is not going to happen, or you give Fernando Tatis Jr. another day off.
Maybe that's it, just to make sure he's healthy.
You've created a mathematical impossibility.
Well, and again, you will need to get guys days, right? You need to get guys days where, and if Tati has a nagging hamstring injury and you're not going to put him on the IL and he's going to sit and wait till it's better, maybe that's the answer. But I would hate to have him out of the lineup again.
If he's able to go.
He should go.
I think he goes tonight, maybe tomorrow, day game after a night game.
Give him a day.
Off day on Thursday, right?
I'm okay if you're going up against a righty. You could probably give Ramon Laureano the first part of it. As soon as you switch pitchers, he's back in there, and you at least play the matchups in that way. Yeah. I wouldn't do that every night. I think Ramon Laureano should be in there every day, but he's played very consistently the last couple of weeks, and if everyone's healthy, can give him a few innings off at least to start the game. But we'll see what Mike Shildt does. It'll be interesting to see that lineup with Jackson Merrill back in this afternoon and what it looks like for Mike Shildt going forward. Going forward for us, Rondo Report to wrap up the show after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Happy Tuesday, gentlemen. Let's get started here. We will start in the world of professional football. Old friend alert, I guess, back here in San Diego. You guys remember Hunter Renfro, not the Padres outfielder, but the Chargers tight end, Hunter Renfro?
Wide receiver. Yeah, wide receiver.
Well, he was a tight end. Didn't he start as a tight end here?
No.
No, I think he was always a receiver.
Clemson.
Yeah. And then the Raiders.
And then he went to Carolina,
We had a baseball player named Hunter Renfroe here.
We did.
Totally different guy, though.
Different guy. We're talking about the football player.
Right.
So he was released by the Panthers. He signed with them earlier in the year, I think back in April. He was released a couple weeks ago during training camp. And he was recently re-signed by the Panthers after they placed Jalen Coker on injured reserve. Call up your old buddy and say, hey,
just kidding.
Just business. You
just
know,
kidding,
we didn't want to ever cut ties with you. And so he is back. But with coming back, he sat down in front of reporters yesterday and talked about the process of coming back to the Panthers. And it made me laugh because you would think an NFL player, now he's a little bit older, but still, anytime you get cut, there's still a chance that another team will want to sign you.
Yeah, man, you know, keep...
Be available.
Be available.
Be
don't,
available.
Don't go off to some darkness retreat or something.
Don't go off on a darkness retreat. Also, don't let your young daughter have your cell phone to watch television. Here's what Hunter Renfroe had to say.
Yeah, my daughters were in the car. Like, I was right outside the car. I wasn't just leaving them there. But I guess I had like 10 minutes phone calls from Dan, Dave, my agent. And they were all just ignored. My daughter's watching Bluey or something.
Yeah.
So got back in the car and had that conversation, I guess.
Daughter was watching Bluey on his phone, denied over 10 phone calls from the coach, the agent, whoever was trying to get him. Hey, got to get you down here. By the way, it was Hunter Henry that I was thinking
Hunter
of.
Hunter Henry.
He was the tight end for the Chargers.
Yeah. I was like, you guys are insane.
Yeah. Hunter Renfroe never played for the Chargers. Played for the Raiders.
I completely botched that one. That is on me. But yeah, so if you're expecting any big news and your kid it needs a little screen time, be careful.
Now, this didn't end up costing him, but what if they decided, hey, we can't reach him, we got to move on,
we
got to sign someone else?
That would be
a tough way to lose a job.
He's clearly mad that we cut him, and he doesn't want to talk to us. We got to move on. But, yeah, Bluey will get you. When we give our kids screen time, we give it to them on their iPads. They have their own iPad.
Not your phone.
Not my phone, not my wife's phone. Nothing worse. Give
Adam
me your phone.
Calls you 15 times.
Oh, just the worst, dude.
Paul
the
sends worst. You an inappropriate text that they see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which could happen.
We'll move on here. That's it with sports. We kind of hit everything from the weekend. But I teased it. Woodsy, big news. Music coming back to MTV.
Jelly Roll.
Kind of. No Jelly Roll, as far as I know. The MTV Music Video Awards are coming up on Sunday, and so MTV has decided from, like, currently, right now, up until the start of the show on Sunday, they're doing 24/7 music videos back on MTV.
Old music videos? I mean...
Do they even make new music videos?
They do. It surprises me.
They absolutely do.
It surprises me every time... A band I love comes out with a new record, and they're like, and it's on you. Put it on YouTube, and you're like,
so it's
not
a
new
full.
Video.
This is not a full, rewind back in time to the 80s or anything. There will be some of that. They've laid it out into like 12 different categories. Over 700 music videos to air. They're going to do things like the best of the 80s, best of the 90s, videos that go bump in the night, videos that make us howl, and best celebrity cameos.
And that's when.
Like right now, you
it's going on right now.
Turn on MTV. You should have music videos.
Okay,
says they cataloged everything. The video or the artists with the most videos being showed.
Jelly Roll.
No.
Oh.
Any guesses on number one?
Michael Jackson.
He's on the list. He's got 12 videos that are on
in
the
excess.
List. No.
In excess.
It's Britney Spears. Britney with 21.
Could do a lot worse than her videos.
21 videos for her. Beyonce got 18. Madonna has 17. Eminem has 15 videos. And Michael Jackson with 12. Other artists like Mariah Carey, Backstreet Boys. And then they're mixing in a little bit of old and new. Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Chappell Roan.
Duran Duran. Rio.
Yeah.
All those guys on that boat.
And then...
what are they up to?
It's all leading to the VMAs that are on Sunday night. People like Lady Gaga is going to perform, Sabrina Carpenter, Ricky Martin is performing,
all
apparently.
Right. Welcome back, Ricky
Welcome
Martin.
Welcome back. And then finally, let's wrap it up with some Burning Man updates. We talked about it a little bit last week.
Well, we talked about the orgy tent.
We talked about the orgy tent. Shout out to his family.
Ben's orgy tent.
Yes.
It blew
I had
away.
Questions.
The
I
orgy
questions.
Dome.
Orgy dome.
The orgy dome. That was what we talked about. I don't really know if we start with the...
Start with the good.
And
start
bad.
With the good and end with the bad.
Well, the good news is Burning Man brought a life into this world as a woman named Casey Thompson delivered a baby in the back of their RV camper last week. The only problem is, well, I guess it's not a problem. I don't know. The baby's healthy. She didn't know that she was pregnant.
She had no idea.
She had no idea. They were not expecting this. She said that she woke up in the middle of the night in her RV and started experiencing a lot of pain. And they ended up, like, minutes later, she gave birth to a baby girl in the bathroom of their camper.
3 pounds, 9 ounces.
Told reporters, didn't even know we were pregnant.
I would have kept that from the reporters.
Did not have any pregnancy symptoms. Says even the nurses at the hospital were like, you don't look like you were pregnant at all.
I don't want to be gross here, but there's a certain thing that comes every month, and you didn't get it for a while, and you didn't think that that was a symptom or... Not a symptom, an idea of, hey, maybe I'm pregnant. Yes, no?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, congratulations to them.
That's good news.
What's the name?
I don't know if I have a name for the baby. Hmm.
And then it took a really dark turn.
No name on a baby.
Jeffrey says some women are irregular. All right.
It's true.
But
name the baby Nevada. Like the Nevada desert.
No, it'll be something Burning Man-ish, you know.
Probably.
And then it took a really dark turn.
Dark turn as also over the weekend, a festival goer, participant of Burning Man, was found dead in a pool of their own blood on Saturday night. The sheriff's deputy office got a call and that said that there was a man lying in a pool of blood. It was described as a very gruesome
grisly scene.
The non-gruesome dead man lying in a pool of blood.
Well,
of course it's a gruesome scene.
It's weird. It's like that's the... And they're investigating it as a homicide.
Really?
At Burning Man. Like, it's just... That's the antithesis. It should be the antithesis of everything, but especially Burning Man. So, pretty dark turn.
I mean, I guess it could be an accidental death, but
Burning Man sounds suspicious. Burning Man takes.
Sounds suspicious.
Justin's
to me.
Cool. Just trying to eat my cereal here, guys.
Yeah. All right, we're done. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. That's it for us, for producer Paulie, for Woodsy. I'm Ben Braden coming up next, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.